bet 100 on myself. I've been all alone, ain't never need nobody else. I'm at the top floor, sipping margaritas off the shelf. Wish I had some competition, but it ain't nobody low.
Props and Drops Nation, what is good? It's Gary V in the building with my main man, Kalish. We've got a lot to talk about. The NFL is getting into its final month of the season. Four games to go. We're recording this after a big Patriot win. So now they're back in the playoffs with a tough schedule ahead. Herm and my New York teams are on a skid. So there's some concern there. The NBA is in full plex. The collectibles market continues to be soft in comparison to the last 3 years. Lots to talk about on Props and Drops on this December 2022. Kalish, what is good?
A little bit of everything, man. Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
Yeah, I've been just getting my bags all organized for the new year, making plans. You know, it's like, to your point, very interesting market right now. Seemed like there's a lot of deals on things that I've like wanted, but used to be too much. And now I'm like in my zone. And then some of the stuff that I'm holding in my bags is just like down and soft. So like, not sure. I mean, I'm not sure how to play it, but like one framework I've been using is if you like sell something and then buy something in collectibles lane, it's kind of like apples to apples, you know? The market's super bullish. You're buying something at a high price and you're selling something at a high price. But like in this condition, if you're like selling and rotating into something else, I'm not sure it's all that different, you know? And I like doing the trading. So that's like how I've been thinking about it. I don't know. Any thoughts on that?
You know, I'll get into that, you know, and say that I'm excited. We're filming this in kind of middle December. I'm going away with the fam a little bit earlier, given their school schedule. So I'm gonna have some time here during the holidays, and I'm excited to sell a bunch of things for losses that I no longer have passion for, but I expect to be doing some buying. I'm gonna buy some sports cards and some NFTs here between Christmas and New Year's for my 2022 tax purposes. So I'm excited about that. So I have one eye on Jets, Lions, Jets, Jags in a 4 day period. That's going to be my season is absolutely going to play out here this Sunday and next Thursday. And then I'm going to have my eyes on some CryptoPunks and some X copies and some other, you know, some trading cards that I've been eyeing. And so I'm excited about that. Herm, you haven't said much thoughts from you besides the Giants. Giants are going to finish in last place in the division, which probably feels weird for you.
It's not nice. The entire season is this Sunday night against the Commanders, the end.
Yeah.
The Eagles game I didn't really care about, and the tie I didn't know how to feel. I'll just comment on your tee up. The tee up to the show, I got to tell you, Gary, I don't know if it's media coaching. I don't know if it's just exposure with Matt. It's probably a lot more time with me. But you sound very – look at his face, everybody. You sound very engaged. You're just, like, really dialed in on setting a whole agenda. You could really do this as a career. Like, podcast-wise, I mean, solid tee up.
Thank you, my friend. I really appreciate that, and I agree.
Okay. All right, where are we going? Are we going right into NBA?
I mean, take me anywhere. Take me anywhere.
Matt, where do you want to go? Pick your own adventure. Kayla style.
I want to talk end of year strategy on collectibles, because I think it's a big topic for a lot of people. And especially in a market, it's pretty different than last year. Last year, I think a lot of people, if you were selling before the tax, you know, cut off on December 31st, it was probably up, you know. People paid a bunch of taxes last year. So the decision I think a lot of people made was like, oh, I'll wait till Jan 1 and realize like a gain, you know, for the next year or something. And then this year is pretty different, where there's all these like losses that people are writing off. So I'm just curious, like a general approach, you know, going into the end of the year, how do you think about, you know, what to harvest? How do you think about what to buy?
For me, I never think making a decision purely on taxes is a good idea. So I'm just going to look at all my holdings. And if things are way down and I don't believe in it in any shape or form, then I'm okay to sell it to save on the gains that I've made on other things. So, you know, to me, I've seen friends get cute and sell things that are down, but they still believe in them and they plan on getting it on the way up. The problem is, just to remind everybody, it's hard to get things on the way up and it's hard to get things on the way down. It's why you're sitting with a lot of things that are down. Like, it just, it doesn't work the way that people, for a lot of first time collectors, investors, things that you can't ride the wave the way you think. You always dream like, oh, okay, if I start seeing it slip, I'll do that. It just goes too fast. And so, you know, I think, you know, if you ask yourself, if you paid $10,000 for an NFT that's worth $100 right now, well, why didn't you sell it when it was 4,000 or 7,000? Same thing in this other direction. If you still believe in that, don't think you're going to pick it up at 1,000 or 2,000. It can move real fast. Anything can happen in volatile markets, and collectibles are that. And so, interesting time, a lot to think about. And, you know, I think, for me, my strategy is look at everything, and anything I no longer believe in, sell, and everything I believe in, keep, and anything I really believe in, double down.
Yeah. One thing I've found too is stuff that is the actual worst is often not liquid either. It's like in the realm of selling things, you have like high conviction stuff that like you probably don't want to sell. You have the absolute worst, like stuff that actually is not liquid and you can't sell it. And then you have
the only way you make it liquid, like I'll give you an example. If I have something that's a dead NFT that I got caught on Oni Force, I think I bought some stuff of like, you know, that artist did collaborations with like a Bored Ape interpretation. I think I got it for like 10 ETH at like $40,000, right? And like, if it's like one ETH right now, you got to put it like 0.25 if you want it to disappear fast. If there's very little demand, the only way you actually sell it is if you go way below the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of the move, right? I've noticed this, like you can list stuff all day, but if you're not at a really compelling price, it's probably not going anywhere in this market. And, you know, at the same time, it's like if you're trying to snipe deals, you can always look for the people who are posting like below floor. And, but yeah, I've noticed like a lot of these projects, I would love to just realize the loss, but there's no demand, no bids. It's like Oni Force is, you could still at least sell it, you know, maybe you're under floor, but you're going to sell it. I have some of these things that are just literally no bids. Like there hasn't been a sale in a month. You listed at like 0.002 and people won't scoop it. You know, the gas is more than they're willing to pay. So like some of those are tough. And I think like to generate some ETH, you really got to find stuff that's liquid enough where there's going to be a bid, you know, if you price it right. And so, yeah, a good example, you texted me, I saw, I actually didn't even notice this until you texted me, but I had my V friend Panda Diamond Iconic airdrop. That's 7 ETH, baby. Like, that's a legit liquid project right there. So, you know, if you can't just sell literal terrible stuff.
Because I know you don't even know what just happened. So we did this big surprise for spectacular holders from Series 1. Got a very, very, very special NFT called Iconics, which is a really cool interpretation. I have a bunch of them on my wall over there. Anyway. So it was a really cool limited edition. I tried to make it like a NBA 90s. Oh, there you go. Thank you, Herm. There's your clownfish. So you have one. So that exact thing, I tried to make like a 90s basketball insert little thing, like a surprise and delight after Series 2 dropped. Happened late this summer, I think. Really fun, early fall. And, you know, obviously we're in the winter of winter. So got great recognition. Like people really liked it. People liked it better than anything else I put out as a PFP. So it's been really cool. Kalish obviously has one of the most iconic VFriend holdings, the Panda diamond, right? And so—
yeah, that was the diamond one right there.
And so I don't know, like I just saw a big spike in Iconics. I clicked it and there it was, like a big sale. And I looked, that was Kalish's. So I was like laughing. So like you did well with that, Kalish. And I think the person that got it did well. You know, I'm going to work for the next 50 years to make sure you regret that sale for the rest of your life.
Oh, no way. This is the best. Here's why. I'm going to explain why. It's an airdrop. And in the realm of airdrops, when you have a shitload of losses, airdrop is all profit, but it just get like canceled out by your all your losses anyway. So I was looking at it macro, not, I think that maybe is a difference of strategy. I'm very macro. I'm like, you can't sell things that aren't liquid. You have to sell a quality project, but right. like you don't want to sell maybe like the thing that you chased for months and you finally got the bid or whatever. So stuff like free airdrops, I love selling, or like popular projects that aren't my like favorite.
Sure. And
even within like punks, I sold some punks that were like, I liked them, but they weren't my number one favorite. And so I'm like never out, but I like trading. So I'll trade stuff in projects I like as well, you know?
I think it makes a ton of sense. Herm, what have you been thinking? I feel like you've not been thinking.
Well, I think the thing that's kind of messed up is if you look at the producers cut over to the Candy Clownfish, I'm frustrated about the bod type of them. I can't get over this. Like, you knew I had this guy, and you made this guy. This guy doesn't even look like he could float. He's just huge.
You know how they say, like, the dog and the owner look alike?
Yeah, a lot? Yeah. Yeah, just walked right into that one.
Are you doing the wolf game thing, Gary? Are you still holding wolf game?
I actually got texted by a very serious collector today about wolf game because I own a couple of the A8 wolves. And like, I'm so out of the loop. I'm like 100% in like fucking hardcore putting the foundation for Be Friends 2023. Like the stuff that nobody sees, that like the meetings, like I'm just really like smiling on the inside right now, like meaningful meetings. We're building some crazy tech on a thing that I'm very excited about. Kayla, you're gonna love it. And like, so I'm like in the lab, which means yeah. like, you know, when you're in the lab, you go outside and you come in the lab in the morning and it's dark because it's before the sun comes up and you leave it dark. So no one sees you. So like, I'm so out of the loop on Bored Ape, World of Women, Wolfgate. Like, I don't know anything that's going on actually in the macro market. Cause I'm like, okay, winter's here. Let me build a fire for VFriends. So I've been like just working. Even VFriends hasn't seen a lot. We did drop a really interesting utility today for the Impala and Elf Series 1, this cool 6-week course that is like high value for like entrepreneurs and innovators. So starting to do some neat little stuff, but anyway, it's funny you brought that up because out of the blue today, I got a text from a very serious person that has never been like loose, keeps it really tight. And I'm like, wait a minute. I literally texted AJ. I'm like, what's going on? Feels like something's brewing. I see you're about to jump in. Tell me.
Yeah, something is definitely still happening. So I sold my stuff except for the wool bags. You know, these wool.
Yep. Of course I do.
Wool is their coin.
Yes.
So at some point we ended up getting all these bags of wool that just like release every day. You get it real time, you know, wool, 4-year vesting. So it's like crazy long. I totally forgot about this. It was something that I didn't even know how to sell. Cause I'm like, what's it worth? You know, how do you think about that? So I had like 20 bags of wool. I went on, and if you can't do this right now, you'll still be able to do it in the future. But I went onto their website, took the wool, and I look it up on the internet, and it's like 40 ETH worth of wool for instant conversion on like Uniswap. So if you've been checked out and you start going through your bag, you're like, oh my God, I just grabbed the wool, 40 ETH. I grabbed like, there was several of these really that I found that I totally forgot about. One was like Rug Radio. You get the rug token, you can like flip it for whatever ETH, you know. So a lot of these projects, Kaiju Kings, I was like, oh damn, I can make the little baby things and then like the babies are worth one ETH. So like you start going through all these projects and they're not
that's
like-
That's what I'm excited, yeah. That's yeah, what I'm excited farming. About for me personally. And look, you and I have, you know, we're not day traders. So this is unique to us. You know, if we were 25, it wouldn't be like, oh, look, I have stuff. We would have known it because it would have been a big percentage of our net worth and things of that nature. So we should speak to that reality. You know, there's a lot of people who aren't like, oh, look, I have, like, they were like trading it every second because it's where their money is. But yeah. For a lot of people listening, there were a lot of passive or long-term, like for me, I'm a long-term collector, investor. So like all of it is kind of like playing long, but I'm pumped to do homework this holiday. Just get a hot cocoa, late night, 4 hours, just like dig in, be like, where is everything? Like small brain, like I'm excited. Like what, you know, just going into all the discords and like, what are the World of Women up to? Like, where are you at? Yeah. You know, like alien friends, like it's just exciting to like get a sense again.
Yeah, you just touch all the bases, like and, what's and same with cards. Roboto, same with what's cards. Happening with this, which
same with cards. You know, like I'm really excited that they just like to go in and like check eBay completed card ladder. Like I'm excited to buy some.
Got a couple quick comments. One is the hot cocoa comment.
Yep.
Do you go couple very quick questions? Do you go milk in there?
Half
or
and half.
Water? Half milk, half water?
No, half and half. Creamier than milk.
Okay. Next question is, do you make it so hot where you have to hold it and like kind of blow on it for a while? Or do you go warm where it's drinkable right at the time, at the moment?
Warm.
Okay. And do you go big marshmallows or small marshmallows?
Both. I'm agnostic.
Excellent. Great question. Okay, cool.
Ailish, can you answer all those real quick?
Cocoa?
Yeah, cocoa. Do you go milk or water?
Oh, milk for sure. I just do like milk in the like stovetop, then Hershey's chocolate syrup. That's it.
Oh, that's interesting. And then what about super hot or warm?
Warm.
And not then what about super hot. Yeah, and what about marshmallows? Big or small?
No, you get the spray, the aerosol spray, whatever, whipped cream stuff. Yeah, definitely. 100%. It's like
and
a
then
diamond.
Perm, you in holidays episode.
Make, yeah. I go small marshmallows, milk, usually skim milk, you know, bad. Always warm. I hate burning my tongue or mouth. Very frustrating to me. And the whipped cream is, I don't do that, but I would like to do that. I think I need to start doing that. I also have never added Hershey's chocolate syrup, so I think I'm missing out. And yeah, I'm going to try all of this.
Yeah, it's just what my mom did when I was growing up. I feel like whatever you got growing up, you're probably... Like,
yeah, it was the move.
There's a little bit of a hurdle there. And that's what it was. It would be like you dump a bunch of milk out into the like the saucepan. It gets hot, chocolate mix, whipped cream, bada boom, you know, that's the move. Yeah.
All right. I'm going back to this. This is the first episode in many episodes, probably like 5 or 6 episodes, where the excitement of both from both of you together is clear on collectibles. Like, I feel like you talked about gold, you talked about pause,
you know,
about all that.
Because I think like every market, you get to a bottom. Like I would say that me and Kalish probably are in agreement that there's only a 20 to 50% more to go bottom of where we are right now, not a 200%, like, you know what I mean? Like, and so you start getting to a inflection point where you feel like you can do something and that's fun.
Here's like philosophy. I'll give you my philosophy on this. And like, I know everybody has their own and you need to do your own life. And like, so what I'm going to say isn't going to work for everyone, but in a really shitty market, to sell for US dollars is like the absolute worst. To like sell collectible for US dollars and hold the US dollar is like a terrible, in my view, trade. However, when you're talking NFT and you're trading into ETH and you hold ETH, or you're like sell NFT and you're buying sports cards, or you're selling like flesh and blood and you're buying MetaZoo or whatever. Like when you're swapping into like a better or like a more balanced portfolio of collectibles, I don't even think of it as like selling something that's down, because you're like, it's almost like if you bought a house and sold a house, you know, at the same time you sell a house, buy a house, you're not taking like market risk on the housing market. You're just like, I sold in that market and I bought in that same market. So my rule of thumb was like, I'm not selling for cash. I'm selling for ETH. I'm selling for other collectibles. And so like, that being said, like there's a huge benefit in selling things that are down on taxes. So like very, very much think like optimal is sell all of your stuff that's getting you like tax savings and then rotate it immediately into at least ETH, if not another collectible. That's my framework.
Yeah, I think the other thing you're catching me personally on, Herm, is the Jets have lost their first 2-game losing streak of the season, and I'm super bummed. The Pats and Chargers, the next two games were after that Sunday were Chargers at Sunday night, Pats on Monday night. I had both of them losing. The Chargers losing to the Dolphins, and I had the Cardinals beating the Patriots. Of course, it went the other way. So now the Jets are like in a must-win situation against the Lions this week. I personally believe the Lions are going to beat the Jets this week, potentially. That's how good I think the Lions actually are. Because I think the Jets are very good. But like the fact that the Lions and the Jags, who just beat the crap out of the Titans, are not gimmies is just devastating. And then we got to go at Seattle, who's going to be fighting for its life. And it's an impossible place to play, especially when you travel the whole country to go play. And then we go at Miami, who's likely going to be playing for their lives too. Like, I mean, Jets could lose the next 4 games in a row. They could also win.
What do you mean? I'm in the same spot and your team's better than us.
Yeah, but your team's not good. Like, really, I mean this. Like, with all due respect,
it's not.
I love you.
I know. What do you mean? I know.
The Giants aren't good. Like, the Jets are, like, actually good. Like, I mean this. Like, they're a good football team. Like, even if you watch the game against the Vikings. The Jets lost to at Minnesota, at Buffalo. Close games, one score games on both of them. And they should have won Minnesota in a lot of ways. They shouldn't have won Buffalo. Buffalo won that game. But again, one score football games on the road against two of the 5 best teams in football, and they lost the turnover battle 2-0 in both games. Like that, if you understand football, you understand that that is like, wow. And so, you know, like if they can like clean up some of those mistakes, get a, you know, some of those unfortunate things, like, I mean, just wild watching these games, right? Like Buffalo, when it was tight, threw a pass, easily could have been picked off if the ball like hung in the air for one more second. And you can see how we can win that game. Like wild stuff like that gets me excited about how nuanced the sports world is. And then Kyler goes down last night, sure enough, right into Belichick's lap. So, you know, it's gonna be interesting here down the stretch. Also, the Knicks are playing a little bit better. The Celtics are great. I went to the Rangers Devils last night. Hockey's such a good sport live.
Hockey's great.
2-0 Devils, who are the hottest team in hockey, before I even get settled in. 5 minutes into the game, the Rangers fought all the way back and won 4-3 in overtime. You know, that's fun. UFC continues to be just like...
Hold on, we're coming back to the Jets and Giants. I'm going right to Matt. Sorry to interrupt. No, I did.
Okay.
Can you see that? Or is that ridiculous?
Yeah, I see it. Yep.
Okay. So, Matt, we have a bet. You two of your closest friends in the world, brothers, Gary and I. It's best record, 5K cash. If I win, Gary also makes a donation to the Jenkinson's Aquarium in Point Pleasant Beach, New Jersey, dedicated to the clownfish tank. Who wins out on this bet? This is us. He's 7-6, and I'm 7-5-1. And the upcoming games are Detroit, Jacksonville, Seattle. I have Washington, Minnesota, Indy. There's one after that too.
Well, let's show that one.
The one after that is, you play Miami and I play Philly.
Yeah, and go back.
Okay, yeah, Philly's tough, huh?
Philly's tough. Minnesota's tough.
So who wins? Let's predict this, Matt. Let's predict it. Jets, Detroit.
I'd rather be in the clubhouse, so I think it's always nice to be in the clubhouse with that half game lead. You know, or whatever. Like you're getting a half of a game out of the gates from that tie versus the loss, right? So
yeah.
Good news though. Good news, Kalish. I don't think he wins another football game this year.
Yeah, it's basically like, does everyone go 0-4 or is it just the Giants going 0-4?
He's definitely going 2-2 if everything goes great. He's not winning at Minnesota and he's not winning at Philly. He's just not. They're
so
not
you're,
good.
So what are you betting on? If you bet on who has the better season, better record, and you're Matt, you're taking me because of the tie?
I'm gonna say half game lead with only four games to play. Like I'd take the half game, you know, spread to go into it. For lack of a better word, yeah, I'd go Giants probably. But it's close. The Jets are definitely a better team.
Yeah. I think
the Philly game is like pretty hopeless for you.
Wait a minute. Something just hit me. The Philly game is not hopeless. They're going to sit everyone.
Ah, great point. Yes.
They're going to sit everyone.
Yes, if they rest up.
I think you might win because Philly sits everyone. I'm not kidding.
I don't think they will sit everybody. We're a division rival. And the way we won the Super Bowl in 07 was we didn't sit everybody in the last game.
Right, that's true.
And it's also Philly. Reckless.
Yeah. But you have to put a little bit of probability against like that game is a win because they rest everyone.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the entire
season. It's not like a black and white world like that, you know? So,
yeah,
there's probably some chance, right? And that would make it more likely that the Giants win.
This is the whole season, this game.
Yeah.
But wait, click quick. Hold on. Go win Washington real quick. Win Washington. Loss Minnesota. Loss Indy. Loss Philly.
Still looks good.
Yeah, man, if you win that Washington game, huh?
That's it.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Very cool. Thank you for that. Thank you.
All right, so we talk about World Cup?
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I'm very stressed about it. I just want to make the playoffs.
Argentina-France is going to be the passing of the torch.
Yep.
The Who symbolic wins? Passing of the torch. France.
And France beat them last time they met, right, in the finals. Isn't that a thing that France beat Argentina in the finals?
I think it was Croatia 4 years ago. I thought it was I think it was France beat Croatia. I'm pretty sure that's right.
Yeah.
Is it like a revenge game or something? I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, Argentina-France would be a really fun one.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I have, you know, from when DraftKings and Golden Nugget merged, now somebody on my team is Thomas Winter, who used to run Golden Nugget, still does, you know, with DraftKings now. And he's French. He's like loves France. So he's been watching all the games. And over here, we got Sabrina, who runs our comms department, Argentina fan. So it's like, lots of different DraftKings office drama going on around this game for sure. I literally have no idea who I would bet and know nothing about soccer, so I'd probably flip a coin. I mean, do you have a lean on the bet?
I think
Morocco for everything.
I'd love to see Morocco win the whole thing, but I think France is going to win the whole thing. That's my intuition on that. You know, that's what I see. What do you see, Herb? I picked Spain to win it. So that was my original pick. So that did not work out.
I like to see Messi win. I like Argentina. So that's my pick. All right, what else are we talking about? You want to go to NBA? Want to go to Celtics?
Yeah, because we were kind of on this 6-game road trip. Hasn't gone perfectly. Like took the L yesterday, lost to the Clippers. I think it was like Tatum and JB scored like 20 each, 21 and 20, which is like good by a lot of standards, but like we're very spoiled. We get 30 points usually. So yeah, very, very kind of like disappointing. And then, yeah, we lost to Golden State too, and Clay kind of like crushed us. So I don't know. I'm excited to get the team back. Orlando's in town Friday and Sunday against Orlando to get it back on track at home. So whatever, man, it's a long season.
It's long a marathon. Season. Predict the reverse of last year for the Celtics. They came out cold last year. I mean, RJ Barrett with the miracle hit when we were all together. And then they got so hot, it was insane. I think this year, hot, I feel like it might get a little icy here in 2023 in Boston, Herm.
Yeah.
I just had an idea in the middle of this whole thing. Oh, actually, are we done with the Celtics? Because I was going to move on. The next podcast, I'm thinking, instead of like we do a guest, but I don't tell you who the guest is, and they just join.
I'm in.
What do you think about that, man?
They just join, or it's like the masked singer where you don't, they're like disguised.
No, not disguised. Just all of a sudden they join, they enter the chat, like literally on a video.
Ah, okay. I'm in.
What do you think about that? I'm going to start doing that, like a random, like 5 minute. Okay, derail. Here it comes. You like this idea?
I like anything that mixes it up. Spur of the moment, high energy. I also think our show was remarkable in person. And so I think we should be fighting for more of that next year versus Zoom. But it's been a great year. This is probably a good time to segue into like some thoughts and the year.
Your progression of a podcast has been so great. You work on progression.
I'm a facilitator. I'm a facilitator. I'm like a young Isaiah Thomas.
Literally, he ruined the Knicks.
I don't know. Bad decade.
Okay, yeah, we can do a year interview. I mean, let's start with some things of a year ago. The price of ETH was $3,600. A year later, $1,200.
Yep, down 66%.
Great.
More.
I think. Am I kicking this off?
Well, no. I think the year review is. We made a bet again this year. It was around this time last year that I think you paid me for our Cincinnati bet. Now Des Ritter is starting a football game as the starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons this upcoming week. So I think that's symbolic to a memory that we have that we'll always remember. I also think that-
Do you know who else is starting?
This week?
The last week and a half. Quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers.
Mr. Relevant, Brock Purdy, who was also
guess
the quarterback.
Where he went.
Oh, I know where he went.
Iowa State, baby.
That's right. Speaking of Iowa State, Breece Hall came, and if he didn't go down for the year, he'd be the big talk about the Jets. And he also went to Iowa State. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of fun conversations to remember last year. I think we lived through an entire year of like being NFT first to being NFL first, you know, I think on this show. I think, you know, one thing that I'm pretty excited about is winning my bet this year. We saw the Celtics make an NBA championship run on this show last year, which was a lot of fun. And I'd be lying if I didn't say, I hate the Celtics, by the way. Me and AJ had a text today about Paul Pierce posting a photo with him, Kobe, and Michael Jordan and trying to compare himself in that crew. And AJ literally just texted me. He's like, God, we hate this guy. Like, we just like hate the Celtics. You know, we don't hate him in real life. I actually like Paul Pierce a lot in real life. I think he's a fun character, but like, we hate the Celtics. So, but the fact that I had this like weird feeling on one of the podcasts last year of like being happy for Kalish and like that, I don't know if I've ever had a feeling in my body that made me realize I was friends with somebody more than that moment where I was like actually happy for him. He was like really happy. It was like, he was really happy. But I'm super pumped they lost that series. And you know, there was UFC was great this year. We always touch on that. Great, lot of upsets. Usman, you know, Asanya. Like there was some incredible fights. I'm excited for next year to see what happens there. You know, I think baseball, you know, we got to see kind of the Astros do their thing again. We talk very little about baseball here. In comparison to its popularity, we talk even less about hockey. So those are things we could focus on next year. Next year, Herm, I want you to do the Winnipeg Jets minute on each episode. So like you just come in and give us a 1 minute update on what the Winnipeg Jets are doing.
Excellent, love that idea.
What about that segment? Let's talk about segments we want to see next year. I want the Winnipeg Jets minute from Herm. I think we should have a whole feature on pitchers and catchers reporting in February. That could be good. I have a big prediction. I predict that our March Madness energy is going to be very high next year, that we're just going to really get into it. and like really make that a big to do. I also predict that the biggest pay-per-view of the year next year will be on a newly launched DraftKings OTT that has Herm and me fighting in the Octagon pay-per-view with an undercard of Jake versus Logan Paul head-to-head. We'll be headlining that, Herm, me versus you. And I predict that Herm will lose 18 pounds and
that's nice.
And get knocked out in the first round.
Okay. I'd like to make a bet where whatever our bet next year entails, which at that point I'll be 0-2, the loser has to go and watch an actual game live, a Winnipeg Jets game in Manitoba, Canada.
I'm in. I also think that we should do a fight where like loser shaves his head, since both of our hair situations are horrible.
Me shaving head is a bad look. I think you actually could pull it off. Mine's been very bad. Very big head.
Hey, freckles. Your predictions.
White
your
eyebrows.
What's your recap predictions?
Before the predictions, I have a skill question. What?
Ooh.
Because I feel like I'm crazy, but then I'm not. So what do you think Paul Pierce's career points, like what rank do you think he is in NBA history? Total career points.
What rank is in total points? So he was a garbage man for more than half his career.
And that's not the question. Oh my God. No, what is the answer?
No, I'm sorry. I apologize. That was me thinking out loud. I'm sorry. Let me go back into my own head. All right. He never got past the second round when he was the key player on a team, but then a bunch of superstars and winners like Kevin Garnett came and dragged his ass to it. He faked an injury that was so crazy that even like my wussiest friends would be embarrassed to be associated
with. Did he go to the bathroom?
I'm sorry. Am I still out loud? I would say Paul Pierce is the 18th leading scorer in NBA history.
Basically, yeah. Good first. Nice. Very, very good. He's the 19th.
Where is he? Give me something. Herm, give me something for that. He scored, 19th bro.
In yeah. NBA he history.
Scored. He scored.
He's actually within 100 points of Tim Duncan, who's 18. Tim Duncan's obviously the man. The like literal only people ahead of him are like Shaq, Hakeem Olajuwon, Oscar Robinson, like Julius Irving, Dirk. Dirk is number six. I didn't realize that. That's crazy.
Well, that's because all these players are the modern era. It's going to keep going that way. They all started younger. They all took care of themselves, so they played longer. And Paul Pierce would have not been on that list if he was in the 80s, because he would have scored 19 a game and instead of 27. Like, you know, that's how that all worked. That's fine, inflation. But what about the fact when he was the most important player on the team that they were able to never get past the second round? If he's the A on a team, the way we criticize Carmelo and Stockton and Ewing and Barkley, all these people made NBA finals as being the A. Paul Pierce as the A never made it past the second round of the playoffs, Kalish.
I guess what I would say to that is he's, for the 19th all-time leading scorer, he's probably like the sixth or seventh best Celtic ever.
Right.
So, like, obviously Bill Russell, obviously Larry Bird.
You know what's crazy? I actually like his personality a lot. Like, I'm so glad he's retired. It's so much more enjoyable. Like, I actually root for Paul Pierce, the human. I just can't be like other people. I'm a diehard. I don't like any Celtic. Talk about your, when I tell you, because now I'm in the mix and running around with business people and pop culture, like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are like the best. I want my daughter like marrying those kind of, like, you know what I mean? These are good dudes, like really good dudes. I don't care. Like, I don't mix real life and sports. Too many people mix real life and sports now. They're like, oh, but it's a good person, or I don't care about their
shadow. What about in the offseason? In the offseason, give them a hug?
It's not even about offseason. Even if I saw them in like in real life, you know, you acknowledge their incredible ability and that they're a good person. There's acknowledgement, but like, I'm not rooting for the Celtics in any game ever in my life. It's not happening. Like, I want the Giants to lose the next 900 football games in a row. And I think Saquon Barkley is one of the most charming, wonderful dudes on earth.
I think that is not great. We're in different divisions.
I'm incredibly envious. I don't use my normal feelings in sports. I'm the bizarro reverse Gary. In real life, I cheer for everyone, including my competitors, because the world is abundant and nobody's taking away from me. In sports life, I'm jealous and envious and unhappy. And I deploy that unhappiness against the envy of the people that are happy, like Giant fans and Patriot fans. It's why I understand people. If I didn't have sports, Gary, I don't think my content, my perspective, my parenting, my leadership would be the same, because I wouldn't have a data point. I wouldn't feel it as much as I feel it. I understand unhappy people because they're sports, Gary. Like I was crushed last night. I didn't sleep for an extra 30 minutes once I got to check what the Patriots score was. Like, very upset. Like, damn, why did this happen? This is bad. I'm upset.
All right. I'll give you a couple high confidence predictions. One is Luka MVP. Two is that the Celtics win the title. I feel very, very confident the Celtics win the title this year. I think the Bucks are not good enough.
What's the odds on that? Can we make a bet, you and I, a good one?
Yeah, so let's see.
They won't win and he wins?
Yes.
I mean, you got to get some good odds on that, Matt.
I mean, the odds to win the title are 3-1.
Good. Let's do a 3-1 bet.
Yeah, any whatever you want, anything.
7,000. 7,000.
So to win, I'm to win 7,000 or to lose 2,000?
No, you're to win 21,000.
I could win 21,000. All right, bet.
Yeah, Herm.
I'm very desensitized to this. I lost 2 CryptoPunks in my best ball league. Very, very, very sad and painful. Due to Evan Ingram.
People don't know that. Should we talk about that? Should we talk about the CryptoPunk piece?
Yeah, I don't know about
that. Oh my god, yeah, I lost 2 punks. So I had a side bet with these 2 guys in my best ball league that was like third place buys first and second a punk. And I had like Cooper Kupp, I had Mark Andrews. Chubb was fine, at least like for the most part he was fine, but like didn't end fine. I had like Tua and Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson was trash. Tua got hurt, whatever. So anyway, I'm like hanging in there. I actually had 8-point lead going into week 14, which was like the last week. And the dude that I needed to beat by 8 had Evan Ingram on Jacksonville, who scored 42 points.
Real quick, Vayner Sports' own Evan Ingram.
That makes me feel better. Hold on.
I'm happy for the winners, but it's like a little painful to lose like these beautiful CryptoPunks. I had to buy 2. I bought like these 2 frumpy mutton chop ones and just like send. And it was before the game was even over. I was like, I need to just settle this now because I'm just so in pain from like what? Evan Ingram. I had a pretty good week too. I think I scored like 120 and my competition had 160. So, oh well, it is what it is. That is the gambling life right there.
All right, so we made a big bet. 3-1, 7K, big bet.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get back on track with the Celtics. Do you want to do the Luka one too? Because I got Luka MVP all day.
I actually fully agree with you. I think I actually fully have Luka winning it too. I also think that Herm's Giants will go 1-3. I'm firm on that. And the Jets will go 2-2 at least. So I'll win that bet. So I'm on fire.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think we win against Washington? I think we do.
What?
I think we beat Washington.
I think you actually lose by double digits. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, fucked. I just believe that.
So bad.
Happy holidays, everyone. Thank you for listening to the show this year. Really excited to continue this into the next year. And I want to wish my brothers here just the healthiest, happiest holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Gary. Really appreciate everything this year. Pod was amazing. Also, everybody who listened, really, really appreciate you guys tuning in, checking this out every week. Couldn't appreciate that anymore, and look forward to doing much more of this in 2023.
Love it.
Bye guys,
see you.
Cheers.
Cheers.